psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
Well, my relationship with Shirley has been one of the highlights of my life. Something precious happened in those childhood years, and I can't recover but one of them.
Well, what do you think we were doing?
You can be sure we were on our knees.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Well, Dad and Luann, summer is definitely my favorite time of the year. I just love warm weather. Outdoor activities, being in the garden, barbecuing, it is tons of fun. And for millions of people, it also means baseball.
Which is as American as apple pie and motherhood, Dr. Dobson.
Well, baseball has always represented something so fun and so wholesome in our country. But in recent years, there have been a number of stories in the media, I know you all have seen them and read them, that have definitely cast a bit of a pall over this sport. But today, we're going to focus on one huge positive association with the game by revisiting a conversation that I had several years ago with one of the game's greatest players, Albert Pujols and his wife, Didi. I had heard about the reputation that he had garnered in the league and that he was a man who loves the Lord and loves his family. You know, he's held Bible studies with other players, and he really is the kind of athlete that you wouldn't mind your kids looking up to. And that's become a rarity today in any professional sport. But once I met him, my estimation of his character just grew by leaps and bounds.
And we heard a taste of that yesterday, Dr. Dobson. I'm sure most listeners are familiar with Albert's career. He's the first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. And in 2009, he had the league's best batting average. That sounds pretty good to me. Was also named the league's MVP three times in the 8 years that he's played the game.
But, Dad, like you said, you wanted to talk to him because you had heard he was a good man.
Yeah, I would have wanted to interview him because he was a great baseball player. But what I really wanted was a role model. I wanted our listeners and their youngsters, especially the teens who are out there, to hear what happens when a man loves his family, loves the Lord, and is willing to make that a priority.
That's right. And our listeners will discover that very shortly. So now we're going to pick up the conversation as Didi talks about her first child, Isabella, who was born before she met Albert and before she fully committed her life to Christ, and how the Lord used that little girl to speak to her heart. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, you're really going to want to go back and hear it, and you can at myfamilytalk.com. You could also call us for a CD. And now here's my dad, Dr. James Dobson, talking with Didi and Albert Pujols.
Well, she, you know, I had her when I was 21, and I was by myself. I had my family, my mom and dad, my brother. And she was not expected. You know, I was young. I was healthy. But at the time when I was pregnant, I was really at a struggling time. I was wanting to be this gold-hearted, super-duper Christian girl. And I was living at home with my family who my mom and dad were having a rough time. They had been married for a long time and had struggles. And my brother, who's 5 years younger than me, we couldn't stand each other. And so I was just praying, you know, that God would show Christ to my family. And it was hard for me to be like Christ in my house. Like, I was so old-natured in my house, I guess. So I was just praying. And I asked my pastor one day, I was like, what is it going to take? You know, what do I have to pray? And I was in tears because my family just would not go to church with me. They wouldn't hear anything about Christ. And he was like, sometimes we even have to pray for our own lives to be taken in order to bring somebody to Christ. So I prayed, you know, for the Lord to just use me if he had to in order to bring my family to Jesus. But I think I even specifically remember praying, you know, don't do anything to my baby. You can use me, but don't. But when she came, that was when I heard from God. And, like, I can't explain it. You have to have the experience with God to know how he comes in such a peaceful way. And it was like everything just went away, and he came and told me she had Down syndrome. But it was so peaceful. And then it just, everything went back into play. And I said to the doc, I knew immediately when she looked at me that she had Down syndrome. And
even before you were told.
Oh, yeah, because God told me. Mm-hmm. So when they took her and the doctor was there, I was like, didn't she look different? And he was like, well, you know, you were just in labor for 12 hours. So, she was being smashed and, she can look however. So probably just, I don't even know how much time passed before I saw, the nurses started to see signs. She has a simian crease, which is one leg across her hand. And took her out because, they have to, if she did have Down syndrome, they were worried about her heart. So they took her out, and I saw my dad walk back in. I think it was my dad towards the window. He wasn't looking at me, but his body language confirmed what I just heard. I had heard. It was tough, you know. I mean, there was a lot of crying, and a day for celebration was like a death. You know, it really was heartbreaking. But in the beginning of our life, immediately I met him, and so he was with me.
You didn't immediately tell him about her, though, did you?
No, I didn't. I waited because I wanted to get enough information in Spanish so that he could share with his own family. And he was tender. Like, Albert's passive by nature, thank God. So he,
That's interesting. One of the greatest athletes in the world is passive.
No, but he was, and he didn't care. She was just this tiny little baby. I mean, you can't hold anything against her, and so.
Well, definitely. I mean, I was just a teenager. I was 19 years old, and like I say, God works out different ways, and I just started learning how to become a parent, and and I look at her right now, and she had Down syndrome, but I look at her just like a normal, kid.
She's as lovable
definitely. Be. There's some sense that, sometimes I could be singing in the bathroom and she start crying and she's like, what daddy's doing? she's awesome.
How old is she now?
Eight years
old. She'll be nine in November.
How's she doing?
She's awesome. She's very high functioning, and she's going into the third grade. And I put her in full inclusion, so she's with the general ed population for a majority of the day. But I always tell people, if I didn't have Bella, my life would be way too perfect, and everything else would probably be real messed up because she, really keeps everybody gravitated together. Everybody is going to draw close because of her. And thousands upon thousands of letters received from all over the world, really, of families who are affected, I shouldn't say affected, blessed with kids with Down syndrome, or stories. I mean, a lot of stories of babies who have passed away because of heart failures and the different complications and how I recently met a woman whose daughter died at a couple of years or something like that of heart failure, and how we were an inspiration to her. Right. Because we speak out so much about it and just encourage family. So I know that God has this purpose with her and,
Well, you have another little baby that is in the control room today. I wonder how she's doing because she didn't like to be away from you. Does she? What is she, 9 months?
Almost.
Almost 9 months.
Almost 9 months. She is a beautiful child.
Thank you. Now,
Albert, you are blessed. You are absolutely blessed, not only with your talent, but with this wonderful family and this woman. And those three kids. Talk about your rise to the top of the baseball world. We're discussing the early years in high school, and you were 12 or 13, and you began to be aware that you had a very unusual talent. And then you went on to college. You did very, very well there. Yeah. And then how in the world did you get into majors?
Well, like you say, I moved to the United States when I was 16 years old. I finished high school, and then I went to a junior college, Maple Woods Community College, for one semester. I got drafted by the Cardinals in the 13th round, and at that time, it was a heartbreak for me. It was I wanted to quit because, it was just, I worked so hard, and at that time, there were some players that got picked in front of me. I was the 402 in the draft, I believed.
But you were in single A first and then triple A.
And then I went
in the majors.
Well, at this time, at that time I wanted to quit. And then she told me a George Brett, she heard, I guess, a George Brett story that her brother, his brother told him when he got drafted, hey, if you good enough, just prove then. and just go out there and play and make it to the big leagues in 2 years. And I was like, I'm going to prove them that they were wrong for picking me in the 13th round. Which, you know, my dream came true. I signed in 1999. I went and played in Trustional League, which is, that was for a month and a half. And then I ended up going to my first year as a professional, A-Bo in Peoria. And then from there, just went to High A Potomac and then Triple A in 1 year. And the next year, I was in the big leagues.
That first year, I think I read that you got, what, $258 every 2 weeks or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
And I'm going to reveal something. It's in the paper, so I guess it's okay to reveal it, that your contract this year is for $100
million. Yeah, but, you know, it was tough. It was, like I said, God had a plan for me in the city of San Luis and for my family. And, you know, going from making $252.90 to $11 and $14 million a year. I mean, it's amazing. At that time, she was pregnant. She was, I believe, 7 months pregnant with AJ, our son AJ. Mm. And it was tough. You're talking about we couldn't even pay rent. We had we didn't barely have any furniture. And then our apartment, we had we went to Walmart and buy one of those card tables, and that was like our seating area to
eat. I've been there.
You know, but one of the beautiful things is that we have all this money, but we don't forget where we come from.
Yeah.
And, you know, and God is using us to do that and really keep us humble. And I make it to the big leagues in 2001, and since you're there, I mean, I just let God to control my life. You know, I sit in the back seat and let him take the gear and do whatever he wants me to do.
Hmm. Describe the first major league game that you had.
It was.
Were you awestruck to be there?
I was really excited. You know,
weren't
I was.
You here? You were here.
Yeah, I was in Colorado. It was 2001 opening day. Here in Colorado, and you know, our manager was kind of playing with me. He wanted to take me. He wanted me to make the team, and there were a lot of people like McGuire and Gene Edmonds and a bunch of the coaches. They want me to be in the team, but I was so young, you know, 21 years old. They didn't want to take the chance. I mean, I didn't have that much experience in the minor leagues. And finally, they just told me, we were in Seattle, they told me, we're going to take you with us in the season, but we don't know for how long. And I'm like, hey, I'm just blessed to be here with this team, and I'm just going to try to do my best. And like I say, as long as I stay humble and put God first and my family and like I say, my career, just a platform, I think I'm going to be okay. But, you know, there's some time where I feel like I have, you know, everything, where I feel like I'm on top. And my wife, you know, she's the one that will say, hey, remember, God is first, you know, and don't try, don't think to you above hand, you know, and her and Hank is the one that keep me humble. I mean, it's definitely.
Well, you went on to be Rookie of the Year that year. That's phenomenal.
I ended up winning Rookie of the Year. And it's an honor, but like I say, I'm here for a purpose, and that to serve God. I know there's 45,000 people to watch me every day to come and play, and I want to perform for them. But at the end of the day, it's my goal is to glorify my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if I go 0-4, it doesn't matter if I go 5-5, or it doesn't matter if you win the game. At the end of the day, if I did my best and glorify the Lord, I'm happy with. And whatever happens in the field, it stays in the field. When I go home, if I have a bad game, when I go home, I have my beautiful kids waiting for me, you know, hugging me and my beautiful wife.
Let's go back to that $100 million because you have used a lot of the money that has come to you for others.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. So if you have a foundation, Didi, I want you to tell me about the foundation because that is very, very impressive.
Yeah, actually, that started, I had really been praying for a way for Albert. Albert can hit a ball in front of 40 million people, but never ask him to speak in front of 40 million people because he gets so nervous.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well today, and there's more than that many.
But I had been praying for God to be able to use Albert in a way where he could share Jesus without necessarily having to use his own words. And I knew he was doing something incredible on the field, but I wanted it to be bigger. I wanted it to be, you know, where God could really be spoken out. And this guy, who is now the director of our foundation, had just been calling and calling, and he's like, I really want to talk to you about something. I really want, and I'm like, okay, finally. I just had to go, so he'd leave me alone. And he presents me, you know, the Pujols Family Foundation, and I'm like, wow, this is what I've been praying for, you know. And we started the Pujols Family Foundation, which is, our mission is kind of faith, family, and others. So we thrive to encourage family. We want to reach, you know, others, which is the world. You know, we want to reach Christ for the world. Our main focus as of right now are families who have any kind of connection with Down syndrome. And also in the Dominican Republic, we're trying to work with the orphans. And
how many children down there are you supporting?
Well, right now we have an orphanage that we're working with that has about 120 or give or take a few kids there. Mm-hmm. And their mission was to expand because they're not supposed to have boys and girls together. But there were, I mean, they have like two kids to a bed. Like it's a beautiful facility, but it's just packed and they don't want to turn a kid down because who knows if the kid will die or not, you know. So we actually were just able to give the Down Syndrome Association of St. Louis and the orphanage in the Dominican Republic both a check for $50,000, you know, that's donated by just everybody. And the orphanage is getting ready to just build their second building for the boys. And I'm going down there in a couple of weeks to check that out. The last trip I went 2 years ago, my mission was, my slogan for the trip was, it's not about me. And I really went to give. I sent boxes full of girls' things to give. I was going to find a place. And so sure enough, 10 minutes from where we stayed, there was an orphanage, which is the one we're supporting now. And it was so different because this time as I drove through villages or past villages or I went to the orphanage, like my heart was breaking. Mm-hmm. Like I really had a different vision that time. It wasn't about me. And now I want to pour out what I've been given into other people. And so that's how I look at it now.
Albert, does it give you a great sense of satisfaction to reach out to children that have absolutely nothing and to provide for them and put a roof over their heads and feed them and clothe them? I mean, that's God's work. That's the Lord's work, isn't
it? Well, definitely. And, you know, I grew up in the Dominican Republic, and I know how tough it is.
Were you guys poor?
Well, we weren't poor because I would say poor is when you don't have food on your table, you haven't eaten in a week, and we have breakfast and lunch and dinner every day. And, you know, we were middle class, I would say, and, you know, but we didn't have everything because we didn't have God with us in our life. But for her, it was tough to see that, but I grew up seeing that, and that's why I have the passion to just give back to the community, not just in the Dominican Republic, here in the United States, too, and in other countries. Because, you know, they need it. They need it. And you're talking about from just toothbrush, toothpaste, and clothes, and anything they need. And there's a bunch of needs down there. And like, through our foundation, the best thing is that we get to share what God has done, and that's the most important thing.
Do you
thing
go
in
down there
life.
And speak?
Yeah, I usually, she haven't, but that because the language, and she knows Spanish pretty well, but I mean, a lot. To communicate, but I try to speak to the boys, mm-hmm. you know, like I do clinics and just share with them about baseball. Of course, they just want me to talk about baseball, and at the same time, I try to tell them, you know, and just to share with them the blessings that God has done in my life, and you know, and take that opportunity to do that, and passing the testimony card too. When I go down there, I do that a lot. I do probably about two or three clinics, and definitely the year before last, when we went down there, it was definitely for her to for that trip, you know, just to find an orphanage that we can support and just give back, because I know God was wanting us to get bigger and to turn just my name to do something else, you know, and that's why we were praying in the foundation. And when she presented to me, at that time, I'm like, let me pray about it. And, you know, it didn't take that long for me to say, hey, let's go. Let's move on with this.
Dee Dee, thank you for caring for kids and caring for the young women that you were talking about. I just trust that the Lord is going to be with you all in the days ahead. Are you prepared, Albert, for the day when things don't go as well on the diamond as they are now? I mean, that comes to everybody.
Well, definitely. You know, and that's to trust him in the Lord. I mean, I don't read my future. God has a plan for me, and he knows what my plan is going to be when I'm done with baseball. And, you know, and I don't know what it's going to be, but, you know, I can't wait because I'm pretty sure it's going to be a better.
You can't lose, really, if it's in his
can't
will.
Wait because I know it's going to be just a blessing, but better than now, you know.
This program will be available to people on CD and so on. And there are a lot of young people, a lot of kids who will listen to this interview. They have cheered for you. They've watched you on television. They've seen the exploits that you've done. Talk to them directly right now. Talk to that 14, 15, 16-year-old who dreams of being you, dreams of accomplishing superhuman things, and they think that that will satisfy them. Give them a word of advice.
Well, first of all, just to search for the Lord, that's the most important thing, which at that time, 7 years ago, I didn't know. And now I know, and I want to encourage those young teenagers.
How do they find him, Albert?
Just through friends, you know, come to church. You know, I'm pretty sure they know somebody, you know.
You are mentored by your pastor, aren't you?
Yeah, by my pastor and by my wife and, you know, both of my pastor, Jeff Adam in Kansas City and Pastor Phil now in St. Louis. I've been just been a blessing because I've been around people and have people, you know, accountable and they call me every day and pray for me. And I just want them to know that without God, they're nothing. I'm nothing without the Lord. It doesn't matter how much money I have. That's, you know, without the Lord, that's nothing. And, you know, just to push for the dream. If the dream is to play baseball, to want to be like Albert Pujols, go for it. You know, try the best. But just make sure the education is first. Listen to your mom and dad because they're right. Most of the time, they're right. And they're never going to tell you something wrong. For you to do. My family at that time, I remember when my family used to tell me things, I always say, why are they telling me this? You know, I always think that they weren't right, but definitely right now I look at it and I picture myself 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I'm like, man, my mom and dad, they were right with everything that they told me because I can see it now. And they just have more opportunity right now. I mean, down there in the Dominican, I didn't have that many friends that were Christian. Right now, there's so many Christians out there and teenagers that just love the Lord. And for those people that, the young teenager that don't know the Lord, just search for, you know. And if you don't know anybody, just come to church and find somebody. Because, you know, that's what I tell my teammates. That's what I'm there for my teammates to share with them, to just try to be just try to have them in our prayers, you know.
Well, I just met you all today, and it's a delight and a pleasure to get acquainted with you. I'd love to extend the friendship, and thank you for coming and sharing your faith, your love for each other, your love for the Lord, your love for those three kids. Mm-hmm. Dee Dee, I don't know, you really ought to have two or three more. I'm telling you. You love being a mom, don't you?
Yeah, it's the biggest job ever that anybody can have, but... I think I can maybe handle one more.
Well, there's one of them on the other side of the glass in there that's kind of anxious for you to get in there. So thank you all for being with us, and please do stay in touch with us.
Thank you
very much.
Oh, and we're very pleased to say that our guests on this Family Talk broadcast, you've just been hearing them, Albert and Dee Dee Pujols, did indeed have another baby, Dr. Dobson, a little boy named Ezra. Congratulations to them and this new addition to their family.
Well, what a precious family this is, Lou Ann. And with a mom and dad like Albert and Dee Dee Pujols, all four of their children are getting a great start in life, I'm sure. We're running out of time, but I do hope our listeners will find out out more about the Pujols Family Foundation. They're just doing a wonderful work, and listeners can learn more at myfamilytalk.com.
That's right, Dad. Myfamilytalk.com is the starting place for that, and they can also drop us a line if they'd like to.
Well, we'd also love to hear from our listeners, and you know, I know it's summer and people are busy and maybe not thinking so much about charitable giving at this time of the year, but if there's somebody out there who has heard us and likes what we're doing, I hope they'll pray about giving to this work. It's what's going to keep us on the air.
We would love to hear from you. Drop us a line, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call, 1-877-732-6825. 877-732-6825. And while you're on the phone, ask about getting a copy of this conversation today with the Pujols family. Thanks for joining us on today's Family Talk broadcast, and we'll see you next time.